And I thought it was helpful for Matt to give some background. I'd like to give some background, too. This topic of religion and delinquency has been an ongoing interest of mine for many years. And I'm a criminologist, and so I like to do studies looking at the role of religion in crime and delinquency, even among prisoners. So I've had this ongoing interest. And in 2000, one of my co-authors, Soon Jun Jang, who's sitting here on the front, and I did what we call a systematic review of the literature to see how many studies had been published and how these studies came out. And one of the interesting things that you'll find when you read a study is there tends to be this statement: the results are inconclusive, the evidence seems to be mixed. Some studies will find an effect, others won't. And we wanted to kind of get a grasp of what the overall literature looked like. So in 2000, we published what we would call a systematic review, and we reviewed 38 studies that we located that did some kind of a statistical analysis using some kind of measure of religion and some kind of measure of crime and delinquency. And that study, we found the vast majority found what we would call an inverse relationship between the independent and dependent variable that we were focusing in on. And so that got us interested in maybe doing some additional research. And so I did a study in 2002 that you can see one of the areas that we looked at was crime and delinquency, but we decided to open it up and look at more than that. So we looked at all of these outcome areas in addition to crime and delinquency. And what we did is we looked at the sample size. We looked at the measures that they used for the dependent variable and the independent variable. We looked at the type of controls that they had in the study. Was the sample a good one? Was it a cross-sectional? Was it a longitudinal study? So we could kind of get compare the studies in the most appropriate way. And so all total, we looked at almost 500 studies in these different areas that looked at religion. And as you can see, what we did is we didn't do a meta. We did a systematic review. We scored the studies. And I don't know how to make that any more full than it already is. Maybe Matt can help me here. Oh, good. Thank you, Matt. Yeah. So I hope you can see that there. I mean, again, we looked at a number of different areas, and you can't see the numbers there, but they're actually there at the top of the columns, just to give you an idea of how many studies that we looked at. And what you find is that in all of these different areas, on the whole, there appears to be a beneficial relationship between some measure of religion and almost all of these studies look at religious attendance. Some of them look at religious practices, how often people pray. But most of the studies simply look at attendance and religious activities. As you could imagine, one of the recommendations that we've made and others have made is that we need more multidimensional measures of religiosity or religious commitment. And so this was 2002. This was updated last year, and this is how it now looks. As you can see, I don't know if you can see, it's almost too small to read, but almost 900 studies published looking at those same topics. And again, you see this overwhelming trend here. Virtually none of the studies find a harmful effect to religion. Doesn't mean that religion can't have harm. I've actually been wanting to do a study showing harm. I've been praying about it, but God's been reluctant to answer that prayer. Would be a really cool thing if I could demonstrate it, but we just seems like we can't. The yellow column is those studies that have either no effect or are mixed. So again, you see this is a pretty compelling overview. Again, a systematic review. And we also, in 2000, decided to look at the other side of the equation. So if you're looking at depression or suicidal ideation, what about these other kinds of outcomes that are more positive? And so we did that too in 2000. And here's what that graph looks like. I hope you can read that. Again, the same kind of a pattern. Religion tends to be associated with beneficial outcomes here in terms of help and well-being and hope, self-esteem, etc. we updated that too last year. It was only about 171 studies, and then we updated that to 200 plus studies this last year. So with that kind of a background, we applied for a grant and received a grant from the Department of Justice to look at the role of religion, because we were able to make the argument that there is something going on, we'd like to know more, and we proposed to the Department of Justice that we would do a series of pretty sophisticated studies looking at the role of religion in what we would call delinquency. It was funded by OJJDP, Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, but we particularly wanted to look at the role of religion in promoting pro-social behavior, because for many, many decades, the field of criminology has been taken with looking at antisocial behavior. What are the predictors that would help us understand the likelihood that you're going to be arrested, or the likelihood that you're going to be killed, or wind up in prison? We want to know why it is that so many kids actually don't do things that are illegal. So it's the whole idea of promoting pro-social. So anyways, we proposed to do a series of studies for the Department of Justice. Let me skip over some of this. The first study that we did, it's published, and we can make this. We'll give you a website where you can download it, but we actually have copies of it. If you'd like to get that, you can just let us know. But this is a study that Soon Jun was the lead author on, looking at the cumulative advantage of religiosity. There's a lot of research on disadvantage, people who come from all kinds of backgrounds that would predispose them to delinquent activity. We wanted to come at it from a different point of view and look at cumulative advantage and the role of religiosity over time for young people, and that's what this paper is. So this was the first one that we did. This is, again, just kind of background. And then we wanted to, in our second study, look at self-control, which is a very old concept, but believe it or not, it's actually getting some traction in the field of criminology and beyond criminology. And so this was our second study. It's now under review at Criminology being kind of the flagship journal for the field, where we actually do find some important effects of religion and self-control. The next study that we completed for the Department of Justice was this one, looking at initiation, persistence, and desistance of delinquent activity, which is, from my point of view, a very cool area to pursue. What is it that prevents people from even engaging in illegal activities? And then why do some persist? And then why do some quit? And the role of religion, obviously, might have some connections. And in that study, which is at Criminology as well, we do find those effects. Each of these studies had kind of different lead authors. So I can't make these available to you yet, but hopefully in the next year we'd be able to make all these available to you. This is a study that Soon Jun and I did that we unfortunately just got rejected, and we haven't even talked about where we're going to resubmit it, but I'm suggesting, Soon Jun, that we submit it to the Journal of Quantitative Criminology. Thought I'd let you know that. This is another study that we just looked at the role of religion, and once again we find religion has an effect. And this is a paper that you're going to be hearing Soon Jun present in just a moment. It's also at Criminology. Now, bringing this to a head, meta-analysis. We are currently doing a meta-analysis. This is my first, and it's Soon Jun's first, and our co-author Elizabeth Kelly. I don't think we knew what we were getting ourselves into when we started this task. We are in the middle of this meta-analysis, and what I have for you today is just some preliminary results. You see up there 263 studies. It's actually more than that, closer to 300 studies. We've done a much better job of opening up our search, first of all, than we have in previous reviews. And you saw the earlier chart where we looked at hypertension and suicide, depression, et cetera, even mortality. Here we're just focusing on alcohol, drugs, and typical delinquency behavior. And here these are coded in a way that would allow us to do what you would do with a systematic review, which we reported earlier. And you see these same kinds of patterns. The overwhelming majority of these studies show an inverse relationship between religiosity and delinquency. But this is not the meta. The meta is where we're actually looking at the effect sizes of these studies so that we can do a much tighter job of comparing them, because when you have cross-sectional studies, you have longitudinal studies, they are very different. Some of these studies use convenient samples, and others use national samples that are representative. And so we're in the process of fine-tuning the meta, and it may take us the better part of the fall semester to complete, because we now have to go back and recode all of our studies. That's kind of where we are. I have here kind of two takeaway points. One that on the left there you see basically refers to the effect of religion as a protective factor. And now, 15 to 20 years ago, you wouldn't find too many criminologists that would admit that religion has a protective factor. But now most criminologists widely acknowledge that. And then the other one is that religion helps to promote pro-social behavior. These are kind of the two takeaway points that we conclude from just our preliminary work so far on the meta. And again, this is a website where you could download a number of the studies that we've already completed. And then if you just contact us at that website, then we could follow up with you and give you hard reprint copies, too, of a bunch of other studies that we've already published that are in the same area. So I'll open up for questions this time. Yes. Well, the better studies have a series of control variables. It's actually figures into how we score a study. If a study doesn't really control for very much, it hurts their score. And so we try to account for any variables that would actually be contributing. And so that's fairly common. And one of the things that you see very little of in the literature is to pinpoint unique, independent effects of religion. We find that religion is significant, but can you find that even after controlling for everything else, there is this unique effect to religion? And this is one of the tasks that we're now working on in some of our more recent papers. And the news is quite positive, actually, about identifying independent effects. And I just returned from a conference where Robert Putnam, the famous political scientist from Harvard, just did a study where he got funding to do a panel study where he controlled for every conceivable thing that he could control for, looking at the role of religion. And he was stunned at the findings, where he did find, in fact, unique effects of religion. He also found unique effects of friendship networks within congregations, after controlling for everything else. And so I think Putnam was surprised by these findings and a little disheartened. He was excited about the friendship networks because it goes along with his thesis of social networking and social capital. But I think he was a little frustrated at the robustness of the religion variable. So stay tuned for that publication. Yes.
Sure.
Well, actually, David Larson is my mentor, and he's the co-author on a bunch of those papers that we've already referred to. You've asked a really hard question. The studies have not been as sophisticated as they need to be. Religion is a complicated thing, and so some people use religion and spirituality interchangeably. It's really interesting, if you do a survey of the public and you ask them, are you religious, you get a certain number of people that would say yes. Are you spiritual? Another group that would say yes. Very few would say they're both religious and spiritual. Some would, you know, it really gets interesting. I can think of a number of people in Hollywood that would say they're very spiritual, for example, but they're not very religious. My colleague, who's going to be presenting here in just a second, has actually decided that that's an area he wants to focus on, is try to disentangle these two concepts. And it's really hard to do that when most of the surveys ask, how often do you go to church or participate in religious services? So, you know, we don't have sophisticated enough measures to help us do the disentangling that we need to do on those grounds. So a lot of work remains, for sure. I guess I would like to see those two combined into a concept, a multidimensional measure that captures both religion and spirituality both. And I just think that that's probably a safer way to go. But that itself is the topic of a whole long discussion that I probably shouldn't go into, unless you want to tackle that one. So let me introduce Soonjun to come up and do the next presentation. I'm going to let you kind of get us out of this, since you know how to do that.
Now, since I am listed as a co-author, I guess I can, before I start my own stuff, and even though this is a John and Johnson or Johnson.